what we've been telling people from directives from the CDC for weeks now, that if you start feeling bad, stay home. Those individuals could have been infecting people before they ever felt bad. Well, we didn't know that until the last 24 hours. And as Dr. Toomey told me, she goes, this is a game changer.
How the fuck?
Governor Brian Kemp, you are an idiot or a liar or both. How are we to believe that the governor of a state of over 10 million people is one of the last people to find out about this? We've had people like Dr. Fauci talking about this for a while now. Fauci was talking about this in February, and I'm not talking late February. February 4th, the man said, we had been getting reports from highly reliable people in China, scientists, investigators, and public health people who we've known over the years, and they've been telling us there's asymptomatic disease, for sure, and we are seeing asymptomatic transmission. If that's not enough, February 13th, CDC Director Dr. Robert Redfield says, there's been good communication with our colleagues to confirm asymptomatic infection. And only adding, what we don't know is how much of the asymptomatic cases are driving transmission. Right, because if a person is asymptomatic, they're likely not going to get checked. It's not gonna be known how many people they infected. But we knew. Also, I mean, as far as the CDC as a full organization, they issued official guidance as early as March 1st, stating that asymptomatic people could indeed spread the coronavirus. And one of the many other examples we have included March 14th, where White House Task Force member Deborah Birx indicated asymptomatic transmission was an increasing concern, and saying, until you really understand how many people are asymptomatic and asymptomatically passing the virus on, we think it's better for the entire American public to know that the risk of serious illness may be low, but they could be potentially spreading the virus to others. That's why we're asking every American to take personal responsibility to prevent that spread. And with sharing all of that, I come back to the main thing that I want to get across. Brian Kemp, if you somehow come across this video, are you the biggest ignorant, idiotic motherfucker on the planet? Are you a bold-faced liar, or are you both? Because while you've now shared with the class numerous reasons why we should doubt the words coming out of your mouth, I would love to be enlightened on this other topic. Answering that question may be the only job that you're uniquely qualified for. But with that said, to the rest of the class, sup, you beautiful bastards. Hope you're having a fantastic Thursday. Welcome back to the Philip DeFranco Show. Buckle up, hit that like button, and let's just jump into it. And to start things off, even though we are 2 minutes into the video, let's talk about some quickies. First up, the Democratic National Convention has officially been moved to August 17th. Though, like with everything being postponed right now, I say that is the current postponement, and so we'll have to wait and see. Then we should at least mention an engineer yesterday intentionally crashed a train near that hospital ship Mercy. According to reports, the freight train flew off the end of the track, smashed through the concrete and steel barriers at the track's end, crashed through a chain link fence, careened through a parking lot and another gravel lot, barely missing three occupied vehicles, and then finally, after taking out another fence, came to a halt. And as far as why he did this, apparently he believed in a weird coronavirus conspiracy, saying that he was suspicious of the USNS Mercy. He believed it had an alternate purpose related to COVID-19 or a government takeover, and saying of his actions, you only get this chance once. The whole world is watching. I had to. People don't know what's going on here. Now they will. Correct. We are now all aware that you crashed a train putting other lives at risk for a crackpot reason and now face up to 20 years in prison. Then we saw the news that the FDA has authorized the first antibody-based test for COVID-19. And I will say, regarding testing, this is good, but it is not the complete solution. This is good because in certified labs, not just a doctor's office, in 15 to 20 minutes, you can get a result. But because this is a blood test, checking to see if someone has coronavirus-specific antibodies, you have to remember that the body doesn't start creating those immediately. And in fact, those antibodies might not show up until the illness has run its course. But it's important to understand that in this pandemic, it is incredibly important to find out who has had it that maybe didn't know. Or because the idea would be, if you have those antibodies, you find out you've had it. That means that you would likely, to some degree, be immune to this virus and wouldn't really need to worry about catching it again. And then secondarily, just getting more information about how widespread this already is would be incredibly helpful. Then, over the past 24 hours, we learned that Dr. Fauci will be getting enhanced personal security. And this seemingly connected to the increased efforts of a smear campaign against Fauci, death threats then following. Though the Washington Post noted, the concerns include threats as well as unwelcome communications from fervent admirers. And then finally, in these quickies, we have voting, and more specifically, vote by mail. And among those pushing for it more heavily this week, you had Speaker of the House, Nancy Pelosi.
In terms of the elections, I think that we'll probably be moving to vote by mail. The integrity of the election system is central to our democracy. Well, how anyone could oppose our enabling the states to have vote by mail raises so many other questions.
Also telling reporters yesterday that she's pushing for between $2 to $4 billion to be given to vote by mail measures in the next stimulus. Though it should be noted there has been opposition to this idea. Some fear that this would lead to lower income voters who tend to move a lot not having an easy way to vote. We've also had people like President Trump previously saying that a big push for vote by mail would mean Republicans do not get elected. But we've also seen Nancy Pelosi refute this.
I think that that's necessary for our country, for us to have a strong strong Republican Party, and I feel sad that the president doesn't have confidence that his party cannot convince the American people about a path to go forward.
We've also seen a ton of celebrities joining the Vote at Home campaign alongside Represent Us. Among those, you have people like Khloe Kardashian posting an Instagram story encouraging people to either request absentee ballots or to contact politicians to change voting from home rules in their state. You had Sia and Sarah Silverman doing the same on Twitter. Yesterday, you had Jennifer Lawrence get involved. And the thing is, regarding the solutions, there's nothing that's perfect right now. Recently, there was a report looking into how states would be able to handle all of this, and it was not great. Right now, only 34 states will allow voters to vote absentee without any excuse come November. And right now, a handful of states are allowing extended vote-by-mail measures due to the coronavirus, but as far as whether or not that would apply to November and not just these primaries, that remains up in the air. Also, 12 states currently do not let all voters vote by mail. And changing the voting systems could also be tricky. I mean, states like Massachusetts, you'd have to change the state constitution. You also have places like North Carolina that's actually recently made it tougher to vote by mail. But still, you do have some trying, like Senators Amy Klobuchar and Ron Wyden, who have been working on legislation that will allow people to vote early or by mail. There's also been more talk recently about another option, and that is online voting. And actually, currently, 23 states and D.C. let some vote by email, and 5 more allow some to do so via a web portal. And actually, regarding this, 2 election officials wrote a piece for TechCrunch saying that the coronavirus aside, online voting should be seen as a necessity in democracy. Writing, traditional voting methods simply don't work for those living abroad, deployed in the military, or those with disabilities. As election officials, it's our duty to stand up for the constitutional rights of our citizens. Also going on to talk about the coronavirus, writing, expanding voter participation by ensuring ballot access for all citizens is paramount to protecting our democracy. In the 21st century, that will necessarily include electronic methods, particularly as we face challenges with voters abroad and contemplate emerging challenges at home like COVID-19, where large public gatherings and long lines spark new threats to consider. Though obviously with this come a great number of security concerns. And while you have situations where you have Utah's oldest voter at the age of 106 being able to vote via an app, pilot programs around the country showing progress, using this on a nationwide scale feels like it is a long way away. But with more and more Americans stuck at home by the day, November getting closer, every single day, the conversation around potential solutions needs to be had. And then let's talk about the situation around masks, or really I should say situations. You know, there's been a lot of back and forth on who should and who should not be wearing masks. In the past, we've seen organizations saying only people who are sick should wear a mask, and that if you are not sick, you should only wear a mask unless you're caring for someone who is sick. But also, I believe that was largely in an effort to save masks for healthcare providers and caregivers. But you have people saying that kind of thinking led to things like on February 29th, U.S. Surgeon General Jerome Adams tweeted a misleading tweet saying, seriously, people stop buying masks. They are not effective in preventing general public from catching coronavirus, but if healthcare providers can't get them to care for sick patients, it puts them and our communities at risk. Right, people pointing to that and saying, well, it's not that it's not effective, but there is a priority. We need to make sure that healthcare providers are as safe as possible because we've seen reports of them getting infected with COVID-19. Because, you know, there is a resource problem right now that people are trying to help with. Though in the meantime, we are seeing situations where healthcare providers are either resigning or being fired over equipment. For example, you had a doctor who spoke with NPR today who had her own N95 mask. Say administrators told her if she wore her own N95 mask, others would want to wear masks as well, and the hospital didn't have enough. She refused to take off her mask because she wanted to stay safe and protect her family, and she got terminated. Then adding, after complaining, she was reinstated and then terminated again, all within 3 days. And of course, while in no way the only other one, there was that story around that nurse who was just crying, talking about the situation that blew up.
I quit my job today. I went into work and I was assigned to a COVID patient on an ICU unit that has been converted to a designated COVID unit. None of the nurses are wearing masks, not even surgical masks, in the hallways when they're giving report to each other. I had my own N95 mask. I told my manager, I understand we're short on supplies, but let me protect myself. Let me feel safe. I have family that I have to come home to, and the way things are looking, this isn't gonna get any better. America is not prepared, and nurses are not being protected.
And so we have an issue with the number of personal protective equipment in this country, where we're seeing stories like this being shared. We're also seeing that maybe there is a public change, with Dr. Fauci saying this week,
idea of getting a much more broad community-wide use of masks outside of the healthcare setting is under very active discussion. The thing that has inhibited that a bit is to make sure that we don't take away the supply of masks from the healthcare workers who need them. But when we get in a situation where we have enough masks, I believe there will be some very serious consideration about more broadening this recommendation of using masks. We're not there yet, but I think we're close to coming to some determination.
And in fact, we've also started to see both LA and Riverside County in California recommend the use of non-medical face coverings even among healthy people while out in public. Which also, on that note, we're seeing an increasing number of people making their own masks. And if you'd like to join in on that, I'm going to try this weekend. I'm going to link down below to a printable guide. That way, in the meantime, you can feel more protected while at the same time not feeling like you're hurting our healthcare providers. Also, while we're talking about masks, we should also talk about Japan and the Prime Minister of Japan, Abe. So as of this morning, Japan has only reported 2,384 cases, only 57 deaths. Right now, museums and schools in Tokyo are closed, but shops are still open, restaurants are still allowing people to come and dine in. But it's believed by some now that it's increasingly likely that their luck is going to run out, especially because right now it is cherry blossom season. And so we've seen a lot of tourists crowding around one another, and because situations like this where people are ignoring social distancing, there are fears that the number of cases is about to explode. Also because of that, you have a lot of people urging Prime Minister Shinzo Abe to declare a state of emergency. And notably here, that would allow governors in different prefects to send out stronger messages when it comes to telling people to stay home. But Abe has refused, saying that such a move is not imminent, and then he offered a different solution, saying that the government would distribute 2 reusable face masks per household, and saying that the move will be helpful in responding to the rapidly increasing demand. However, this seemingly just angered a ton of people. We saw Abe's mask and screw your 2 masks begin to trend on Twitter in Japan. Right off the bat, you had people criticizing Abe for only handing out 2 masks per family, and in fact, one of the most circulated images here was of multiple people in a family all having to share between 2 masks. A number of people wishing that this was just an April Fool's joke. You also had others slamming the move because seemingly he was acknowledging that there was an issue, but instead his solution was to provide something that was not enough for a number of families as well as not fast enough, because reportedly those masks will not be distributed for another couple of weeks. But it's also not just people feeling scared here. You have medical officials warning that a surge in coronavirus cases could be disastrous for Japan's healthcare system. Reportedly, hospitals in several major cities, including Tokyo and Osaka, are already being stretched thin, and even according to a government panel, drastic countermeasures need to be taken as quickly as possible. And like I said, there's already evidence that we could soon see a big surge in the number of cases in Japan. On Tuesday in Tokyo alone, they reported 78 new cases, which was their highest single-day jump so far, but then today, they reported almost 100 new cases, so we're seeing that number continue to rise. And as we've seen in other countries, just because the number of cases hasn't hit the hundreds or the thousands, that doesn't mean it will not. There was a time where in this country, 15 cases were being downplayed. And now we're looking at a situation, I guess, to mix this with our daily update around numbers. In the United States, as of 4:30 p.m. Eastern Time, there were 236,339 confirmed cases, 5,648 total deaths, 8,861 total recoveries. And globally, we're looking at over 1 million confirmed cases, 50,230 deaths, and 204,605 recoveries. Also, some other numbers we should mention are the unemployment numbers we're seeing in the United States now. So 2 weeks ago, we saw 282,000 Americans filing for unemployment. Then 1 week ago, we saw the record-setting 3.3 million Americans filing for unemployment. And now this week, according to data just released by the government today, 6.6 million more Americans have filed for unemployment. Right, in the span of 3 weeks, we've seen nearly 10 million Americans sidelined. Right, so those are just staggering numbers. It is scary what that means, but the situation is not completely hopeless. As we've discussed in the past, this is a unique situation. Usually with a recession, you lose a lot of jobs over a long period of time. But here, what we're dealing with are people who would normally have a job otherwise out of nowhere being sidelined. What you have a number of economists hitting on right now are 2 main things. How long will this last, and afterwards, will companies go back to normal? Regarding how long does this last, as Axios points out, if unemployment claims continue at this pace for another 4 weeks, we'll end up seeing half as many workers laid off as lost their jobs during the 2008 to 2009 Great Recession. But adding, on the other hand, if these numbers continue for 16 weeks, it will be twice as bad. And regarding the other point of will companies go back to normal, a lot of that will depend on, is it safe? Do people trust that it's safe? If this is something, like Dr. Fauci said, that is coming back with seasons, will companies ramp back up if they're worried that something like this will happen again? Or because you hope for a B, all these people getting fired, all of a sudden, hey, maybe the situation's handled, they get rehired, but it's not guaranteed. Companies that do survive may be fearful of bringing on more staff, more costs. Also, how many small business owners are gonna lose their business over this time period and not be able to rehire? But ultimately, that's where we are with this now, and we're gonna wait to see what happens next. And of course, as we see these changes, we'll be talking about it. And that is where I'm going to end today's show. And hey, if you like this video, hit us with a like. If you're new here, you want more of these daily news videos, hit that subscribe button. Definitely tap that bell to turn on notifications. Also, if you're looking for more to watch, maybe you missed yesterday's show, you want to catch up, or you want to watch one of the brand new clips we posted, click or tap right there to watch those right now. But with that said, of course, as always, my name's Philip DeFranco. You've just been filled in. I love yo faces, and I'll see you tomorrow.
I hope you liked the video. Subscribe if you like it.